Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we are back with a very special surprise today. The return of our most concurrent, reoccurring guest of all time. I mean, always a joy speaking to him about the NFL season and all things in life, the great Dane DuPaul. Dane, welcome back to the podcast.
Again, just pleasure to be back every time.
Absolutely. What's been going on since I last talked to you? I know I moved into a new place. I'm pretty sure you moved into a new place. How's that been treating you?
Oh, not too bad. Moved back to the Minneapolis Twin Cities area. Kind of just getting into the house. We got moved in 3 months ago. So just kind of reacclimating, if you will, to living back in the Twin Cities area as opposed to North Dakota.
Now, my question is, I believe you're living with multiple roommates and you've been living alone the past few years. How's that been? How's that acclimation been?
The first couple weeks was definitely getting used to actually talking to people every day instead of sitting in a room by yourself whenever you're going out. But I think after it was about a 2 week, if that, period. Now it's not bad. Normal.
No. Love to hear that. Always love to hear that. Well, you know, I feel like this is a new staple. We did this last season before the start of the NFL season, went over things before the season. And today I have a bunch of fun things related to the NFL. Of course, a new blind rank. It's just my favorite game to play with any guest I have on here and all sorts of stuff. So you ready to get into things?
I'm ready.
Absolutely. And the first thing I think a lot of people, they always like to get advice on this, is fantasy football. And how many leagues are we in this year? How many leagues are we in?
I think 4, counting the one that I joined with you. So I think 4 is the limit this year.
Absolutely. I'm at 5. Pretty similar. And yes, I, of course, make a league. I kind of recap my team on a past episode. But what's your team looking like in that league? Because for me, I view it as just a league to get some players that I was never going to get in other leagues. And then, of course, our, I was going to say good friend, but our associate, if you will, Tyler Brischke, always seems to rile me up. I mean, you know, he becomes my friend after the fantasy football season. I cannot with this kid.
Oh, that's kind of his thing. He's been doing it for however many years. It's his shtick, and it's and we love him for it. You can just clap back a few times. I will admit, I get a little clap back-ish, a little bit much sometimes, but that's all we can do.
No, but yeah, I know one player I got was CeeDee Lamb. I was in all my other leagues, I was nowhere near getting CeeDee Lamb. I was the 5th, 6th, 10th pick. So who are some players you got in that league that you're kind of like, I'm happy I get to root for them this year?
Jefferson. I think the last time I actually had Justin Jefferson on my squad was his rookie year, and I dropped him the week before the Tennessee game when he started to go off because he had, like, 2 points in, like, 3 weeks. And that is probably my dumbest move. Yeah, it was stupid. But other than that, I went really wide receiver heavy with my, one of my favorite recurring, players. I was looking at the wrong league. Same thing. I still got Jefferson, but, perfect. I was actually able to get, Garrett Wilson as well. So getting Jefferson and Garrett Wilson on the same squad is going to be pretty deadly. And then throwing Marvin Harrison Jr., which is a pretty big toss up because we don't know how ever rookie is going to be. So, yeah, that's my biggest thing, and I've kind of gone through in most leagues, and it's a trap that I've kind of fallen into 2 out of the last 3 years. But I'm with Kirk Cousins there now, the Kyle Pitts trap. I am all in on the Kyle Pitts. Kirk loves throwing to his tight ends, and I think Kyle is going to go crazy this year.
Okay, that's kind of – to me, that's a hot take because Kyle Pitts – was supposed to be the next big thing, the next Robert Gronkowski and next Travis Kelce, and has since not placed in the top 10 for fantasy tight ends at all, his whole career.
I don't know
if Kirk can elevate him.
I mean, you talk about those two, and you're like, oh, the next Travis Kelce and the next Tom Brady. Who has thrown to those two in their entire career? Well, most of their career. For Kelce, it was Alex Smith and Mahomes, who pretty good passers. Alex is not nearly to the level of Mahomes, but they're both really good passers. And then he got Tom Brady for the other one. So I think Kyle just needed his quarterback. It was Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke were his – plus Marcus Mariota. So I'm looking for a guy who can sling it, and we've seen through the last 5-6 years of Kirk Cousins here, Kirk can sling it. So I'm hoping he uses that to hit Drake London and Kyle Pitts and kind of elevate them, because they've both been kind of disappointing since they've been drafted into the NFL.
Yes, and the Falcons, they just have so much to live up to this year. I mean, Bijan Robinson – I've seen leagues he's going to the number two pick off the board. Like, he's elevated so high. They've brought in a bunch of wide receivers, and, you know, this is – it's giving me the Jets from last year with they bring in a veteran QB, they send him all this stuff, and he gets hurt. I honestly hope that doesn't happen, but, I mean, Falcons have a lot to prove, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like there's a team like that every year. Last year with the Jets, this year it is the Falcons. So I do agree with you there that it's kind of giving deja vu of the team last year. But, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, Kirk's never been hurt in his career, and last year he had a pretty big injury. So the odds of that striking twice, not very great.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
At least I hope he plays the Vikings. Stay healthy for the Vikings game, because I'm ready to bring it. Now, yeah. Those other two guys you mentioned, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison, more so on the Marvin Harrison side, I feel that this season there have been a lot of rookie wide receivers going in fantasy football. Just for some reason, I feel like there's just so many more than usual. Or maybe I'm just – I have no idea. Is that just me, or do you feel the same?
I mean, I don't know so much about rookies, but definitely Malik Nabers is up there. Marvin Harrison Jr., all of them are going to Ladd McConkey for the Chargers.
Keon Coleman.
Yeah, they're going to teams that have needs. You look at the Bills. Yeah, Brian, he's going to the Jags team that had just, I mean, Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk, if you consider that a opportune elite receiver corps. I guess, but Keon Coleman, there's no one in Buffalo. Marvin Harrison, there's really no one in Arizona. You had Rondell Moore, who then went to Atlanta and unfortunately blew out his knee. And then same thing with Neighbors. There's granted, Daniel Jones is throwing him the football, so do with that as you will. But
we'll have to see.
That's another guy who has ample opportunities to perform on his team.
Yeah, I'm a little worried for any Giants fans out there. I don't know any personally, but I mean, Devin Singletary, I get he had some good games with the Texans, but I mean, he's your starting running back. Honestly, besides Malik Nabers, I mean, they don't have, is Darren Waller healthy even? Is he even on that team?
He's retired. No, he retired. So he's.
Well, you look at that. Off. Shows you how much I know. Yeah.
No, it was actually really interesting. I kind of bought into the Hard Knocks offseason with the Giants. That was actually a little interesting to see kind of their draft process and their free agency process and how they go through all that stuff. That's the only reason I know anything about the Giants specifically. And of course, they do a good job of hyping up their respective teams. They're doing it with the Bears right now, but they did it with the Giants and their rookie tight end that they drafted, I think, in the third or fourth round. Out of Penn State, Johnson, it was like Theo Johnson or something along those lines. He's like a 6'6", runs a 4.5. He's supposed to be an absolute menace. But again, if he was supposed to be a menace, he wouldn't have gone in the third or fourth round. So we will see. Giants may be in a worse spot than we are right now with just their team coming together at the inopportune times. But what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone else that's just popping into my head just because I'm looking at my fantasy team, T. Higgins. I didn't get the vibe he wanted to play with the Bengals. I don't know. He took a contract with them. I mean, do you think he is flex worthy? He's in my flex right now. And I'm like, do I start him?
I don't even know if he has his I know he signed the, what is it called? The franchise tag, but I don't know if he actually got a contract extension yet, which I figured they would offer him something when they got rid of Tyler Boyd, who went to Tennessee. But still, they haven't really given anything to T. Higgins. And as of now, he's practicing and playing like he's going to be there week one. But if Joe Burrow stays healthy, and then that's the next thing, is Ja'Marr Chase is going to play, because he's now having a mini holdout because he wants a new deal. So that could also be evident of T. Higgins and his success.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Bengals are, they're reminiscing me of the Bills, how the Bills were supposed to be a Super Bowl team, kept losing the playoffs. Now the Bengals, they made it to the Super Bowl, and now since then it's been a decline. I just, you know, I don't want to hate on players. You know, it's incredible to make it to NFL, but Zach Moss is now your starting running back. You know, you need a full team. You need a set team to be able to fully make it. I don't know if T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow can carry the entire Bengals team. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. Who knows?
Now, are there any players who you've stayed away from? You're kind of just like, I don't think they're good. Everyone keeps drafting them, that you can think of.
I mean, my biggest one has been CD, mostly because of the contract. But now that he's got his contract, he's probably going to be fine. We'll see how Dallas is. Dak Prescott is such a hit or miss quarterback, where some games he can really look like one of the best in the league, and then other games he'll throw for like 196, a touchdown, and two picks. It's all depending. And now, not to mention, they have Dalvin Cook and Zeke as their two running backs. It's not like they're going to have much of a run game this year. So we'll see. I don't know.
I was talking to someone today, and they were like, if you'd have told me 6 years ago that your starting running backs were Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook, I'd have said you had the two best running backs in all fantasy football. And now their downfall doesn't even make sense. I don't even understand
it. I mean, it's almost Dalvin specifically. I know, paid attention to him, obviously, because he was on the Vikings. But it seemed since he surgically repaired his chest, his labrum or whatever was torn, he got worse. And I don't know why him playing with a torn labrum suddenly like elevated his game, but he repaired it, both of them. And then last year, or I guess 2 years ago, when he was last on the team, was a complete like box of rocks. So I don't know.
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season. I mean, one issue that I think I did when I was drafting is, of course, on here we do I did last season, I completely recapped the top 10 for every fantasy position. So when I was drafting, I was looking at all those players, and I didn't take into account 2022, 2021, the past seasons. So do you think guys like Travis Etienne, Rashad White, Breece Hall, who placed in the top five for running backs, do you think they're going to return to the top five running back fantasy rankings, or you think someone's going to overtake any of those guys?
I don't know about top five, but I think Etienne's got a good spot. He doesn't really have any competition that, and I could be complete, again, not Jacksonville Jaguar fan line here, but not sure if they got any rookie running back to come and take any reps from him. But the other two, Breece Hall and Rashad White, both got two rookies that the team spent relatively high draft picks on to come play. For in Tampa Bay, they drafted Bucky Irving, I think out of Tennessee, I want to say. He's going to take away from carries, which that's why Rashad White was so high up, is solely from volume, where he was catching and running almost everything out of there. And then the Wisconsin running back in New York, who's supposed to be like this 6'3", 240-pound just animal that's going to take a lot of goal line carries. So those two, and that's another one when you brought up players to stay away from, is kind of that Breece Hall and kind of Rashad White, actually, when you brought him up, is because their volume will be taken so much from those two rookies that I think at some point, maybe not right away, but at some point we'll start digging into the workloads pretty heavily.
Yeah, it's going to be such an interesting season, and there have been a lot of changes with teams, some free agency, you know, some trades and signings and stuff. And I just want to ask you, Dane, do you think you have good NFL knowledge?
I think so.
Do you think so? Well, I'm going to test you on your NFL free agency knowledge. I'm going to list out some players, and you are going to guess what team they're currently on. Some are easy. Some might be a bit hard. Some are starters. Some might be backups. You interested?
All right. Let's try it out. I feel like I might get humbled here, but we need to just going to dial in and do our best.
Let's absolutely do it. Start it out easy. And you can even give me your thoughts on some of these players. Russell Wilson.
Well, as I don't know if I've made it quite evident, I cannot stand Russell Wilson. He's probably my least favorite player in the NFL. So I know he went to Pittsburgh, and Tomlin announced today, I think, that he's going to be the starter at week one for them. So good luck to him. He's got, for as much as it matters, Justin Fields nipping at his hind trying to get to that starting job. So good luck, bud.
Yeah, he takes a 1-year deal with the Steelers. You know, Justin Fields will be the backup. I feel so bad for I don't really feel too bad for our common friend, brother of yours, Seth, as whenever the Steelers win, I always never hear the end of it. So he can be happy with Russell Wilson. All right,
sure.
We're going to hit you with two more quarterbacks. These ones are interesting. First one, Joe Flacco.
I believe he's in Indianapolis. I believe he's in Indianapolis. That's what I'm going to say.
Indianapolis, $8.7 million for 1 year. The backup to Anthony Richardson. That's a solid backup. You have to think Lamar Jackson had him he kind of became Lamar Jackson's backup to kind of bring him up. I don't really know anyone on the Browns. He kind of became the star QB on the Browns. But, Anthony Richardson, I think he's going to be pretty good. And with Joe Flacco as the backup, it's pretty solid in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not very high on Anthony Richardson at all. The number one thing I like in a quarterback above all of their positions is the availability. And Anthony Richardson played three, four games last year before he had season-ending. Sure, but he had season-ending shoulder surgery, which his throwing was already brought into question before that. So sure, dude can run around a lot, and that's great. But in the NFL, as a running quarterback, and that's solely what you do, you're not gonna last very long running around doing that. So, do with that as you will.
Very interesting. All right. One more quarterback for you, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh.
I saw him and I was like, he's a good one.
That is a good one. I'm trying to, from the 49ers to the, did he go to the Rams?
Bang. He knows his stuff. Jimmy Garoppolo on the Rams on a 1-year contract. How about that? Matthew Stafford, your starter. Jimmy Garoppolo is your backup. That is an old quarterback room.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to be seeing much of the field. I think Stafford's got that job pretty well locked up, especially after Garoppolo's performance last year. But who knows?
Did you watch Receiver at all on Netflix?
I watched about the first 4 episodes of it, yeah.
Did you see Davante Adams, how he kept trying to give, like, Jimmy Garoppolo a chance, and, like, Jimmy just could not get a connection with him? And, like, you know, it was so smart getting him out of there.
Yeah, Davante, I mean, for the few episodes I did watch, Davante seemed like the best guy. Like, that's a guy that I was, like, iffy on before, but since watching that show, made me kind of like him a little more. He seemed like a decent dude. But the constant just, like, dude, I'm getting killed out here. He's throwing hospital balls. I was like, ooh, that's not great from your star wide receiver.
Dude, and Amon-Ra St. Brown on that show, I became such a fan of him. His work ethic, insane since he's been a kid. Just absolutely crazy. Even though he's kind of a divisional rival, but I mean, I still like him personally.
We'll just agree to disagree on that one. But
ooh, not an Amon-Ra St. Brown fan.
Mm-mm. Unless you want me to elaborate, we'll just leave it at that right there.
All right, we'll come back to that because we're not done with the Lions for today's episode. So we'll leave that there. All right, sticking with our little game here, Tony Pollard.
He went to Tennessee.
Tennessee, 3 years, $24 million. I don't know what they saw from his time in Dallas, but he was literally Alexander Mattison. Comes in as a backup when the starter gets hurt, is an absolute stud. Gets the starting position, it just is so average. So average.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be he excelled in the change of pace role where it was Zeke downhill running and then he was a little more shifty catching out of the backfield. I don't know if they really have that now in Tennessee because I think it's him and Tajay Spears, which I think are like very similar backs. So don't know what That's Tennessee's what backfield is going to look like, but...
Because you had Derrick Henry, and, you know, let's use some military terms. He's a tank. Derrick Henry was a tank. You're sending him up the middle. Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, they're kind of like fighter jets. You know, I feel like they're going to the outside. They're catching a ball. They're meant there for speed. So it's almost like a completely different offensive scheme on the ground, in my opinion.
Yeah. We'll see. I like Will Levis. I'm a big Will Levis guy, so I hope for their success. But I don't know.
A lot of mystery this season. I'm here for it. It keeps me engaged. Script writers, you're doing a good job keeping me intrigued. Alrighty, Alexander Mattison, man I just mentioned.
That man is in Vegas.
In Vegas, you know, that's where he can enjoy his time in the NFL before he's ultimately gone from it. Dude, I just don't get it. Like, he was so good when Cook went out. And then just all last year, just did not work with us.
Yeah, I'm sure I brought it up plenty of times last year when we were talking, but I had it up to here with him and his antics of dropping the football, not being his supposed power back where he was supposed to power. I think his total, like, within 5 yards stats was like 15 rushes minus 3 yards and zero touchdowns. It was, what are you doing? You don't deserve to be a running back in the NFL at that point. It was disgusting.
No, it was. It was abysmal. And now, is he the starter? I'm not even caught up with my Raiders.
It's him and Zahir White are the two. So, oh my gosh, again.
Zahir White. Okay, I like Zahir White. I think he's going to be a good starter. All right. You know what?
Yeah, we'll see. The little
Alrighty, and your final running back, Cordell Patterson.
He is also in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh on a 2-year deal. 2-year contract. I mean, I guess the Steelers are a retirement home at this point. It's where everyone's going.
Yeah, I guess. Cordell Patterson, I saw tweet or a comment on an Instagram post the other day and it made me laugh. It was, if the dude ever learned how to run a route, he probably could have been one of the best NFL players of this generation, but dude could not do anything receiver wise, but running back wise he seemed to excel. He did it good in Atlanta, and now he's finally taken his talents to Pittsburgh, and we'll see how much time he gets between Najee Harris and Jalen Warren.
He's actually had such a crazy career trajectory from being one of the best returners with Minnesota to just taking the league by storm as the Falcons running back that 1 year. What was that, 2 years ago, I think it was? It was his peak. He probably peaked that year.
Yeah, and I'd say so.
Last year got overshown by the rookie, and even Allegier was better than him, so. We have that. All right. I have one tight end because there weren't really much tight end free agency signings. Mike Gesicki.
That one I don't know off the top of my head. I'm just going to throw a wild guess and say something like, I don't know, Denver.
Denver, love the guess. It's the Bengals. The Bengals.
Oh.
So, I mean, going from Tua. No, he was with. He was
in New England,
wasn't he? Oh, gosh. Yeah, Joe Burrow's a huge upgrade from New England. Oh, my goodness. Alrighty, let's do it. Wide receivers, Gabe Davis.
He went to Jacksonville. I like that move for him.
3 years, $39 million. I mean, he just had to change the pace, you know. He was almost like, I would have compared him to a T. Higgins, where he was like super good, but wasn't like the star wide receiver. But I don't know. He's been kind of, he catches a deep ball and everyone goes crazy. And then after that, he just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he's just a deep threat guy. He runs 40 yards down the field. Josh throws it up and he either catches it or he doesn't.
No. Josh Reynolds.
Ooh. Josh Reynolds. For some reason, and I don't think this is right, but something striking me like Carolina.
That was a good guess. I like your thought process. I was trying to lead you on earlier when I said great guess with Denver. So he is on the Broncos now.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean, I hate to say it, you know. Bo Nix is coming in. You already got Courtland Sutton. It's just, he's there now. He's there 2 years
ago. Yeah, he's there. Yeah.
All right, here's a fun one. I still cannot believe this guy's in the league. Chase Claypool.
He went to Miami, I believe, and that was on IR, correct?
No, he is with the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills, and he went on IR. Sorry. Right division, wrong team.
So close. No, I'll never forget that game with the Steelers and Vikings when he celebrated when they needed to talk about that. That's my favorite moment ever from him.
Yeah, that was not his best. It wasn't his best moment. It wasn't as egregious as it was kind of made out to be. Like, it was a very minute thing, but it was like, what are you doing? Run, spike the ball, you idiot.
And then he's like arguing with people. I just saw a clip of it, so I was like, oh, that's so comical. Alrighty, you've done an amazing job, Dane. I have one more bonus player, one defensive player. Just because I wanted to test you. Jadeveon Clowney, former first round
pick. Jeez, I was going to say, I'm surprised he's still in the league. Did he go to Atlanta?
You're so close, it's Carolina. You're one step.
Dang it.
You just need to go straight over. Not 2 years, $20 million.
Dang, I'm surprised he's still in the league. I haven't. Beats me. It's not like they're spending it on anyone other than Thielen anyway, so.
No, let me actually ask you about the Panthers. Do you think Bryce Young is going to be any regards good this year compared to last year?
I have not given up entire faith on Bryce Young yet. He was a number one pick for a reason. Staffs don't just pick players because they won the national championship or is supposed to be the number one. If they think someone's the number one pick, they're going to take him as the number one pick. So I think they just had a dog awful team last year. They've added a couple pieces, Legette and Deontay Johnson as some receivers. I think they added another tight end. I can't pick one off the top of my head. They've built a little bit around the O-line. I think he will – we can't rip him after his first year. As much as it's a great old fallback, Peyton Manning threw 28 picks his rookie season. You can say that about anyone, but it's – Bryce Young, I think, will be fine. I think they're starting to build the team around him, and I think everyone needs to simmer back on the Bryce Young hate for at least one more season.
I think the only reason he gets a lot of hate is because of how good C.J. Stroud did. Like, he is literally being considered a top 10. Top 5 would be very brash, but top 10 QB in the league. And he was drafted one spot after. So, I mean, the comparison is directly there. But at the same time, you know, looking back, C.J. Stroud got pretty lucky with all the weapons he has. And now look at all the weapons he has. I mean, my goodness. Meanwhile, I mean, Adam Thielen was your top guy who's mid-30s now.
Yeah.
Well, it appears you are up to date with your free agency knowledge, Dane. So, pleasantly.
More or less.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, but hey, fairly happy. Movies, TV shows, Dane, what have you been watching lately, if anything?
Not really a whole lot. Obviously, the Hard Knocks that have come out, I brought them up earlier. The off-season one with the Giants, and then the training camp one with the Bears. Kind of tired of them doing Hard Knocks in our division rivals. That's kind of getting a little old. Kind of hard to root for players when it's those. So the House of the Dragon just finished up a month or so ago. Watch that every week. I tried to just wait and binge it all at the end, but then I definitely turned into a once a week guy watching them all. Couldn't wait.
I would love your thoughts right now on House of the Dragon. I would love your thoughts this past season, because I don't know if I have controversial opinions, but I did not really mess with it overall.
It was definitely a story building season where, other than that one episode where everything went down, for people that haven't watched it yet, not to like spoil the whole season more or less. But other than that one episode where it all went down, it was really just a huge building storyline season for season three, which I'm assuming is where all hell is going to break loose and people are going to die. And it's going to be the Game of Thrones we all has kind of grown to love, that you never know who's going to die and which way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just me, but it's like even the presence of characters on scene, I don't get the same vibe with a majority of them. Maybe Damien, you know, but like when I had Cersei on screen, when I had Joffrey, I was just waiting for them to have someone killed. Like I was just waiting for that. You know, with like Queen Alicent and who's the blonde one?
Rhaenyra.
I just don't get that vibe, you know. And they've been trying to follow the book. They've broken away from the book. So now people are kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen with the storyline. But I was bored. I got bored a lot with it. Besides the ultimate episode, that was like episode 4, I believe, on that.
Yeah, it was definitely, like I said, a huge story building one. It was building, quote unquote, relationships and the tension and all of that. There's a lot of filler episodes in that season. So I can definitely see where it's a huge step back from that first season. But ultimately, you need to have those kind of filler episodes to make the big, fun, explosy battle, all that stuff, so much more impactful.
I understand, but like even episode 8, like it's your finale, and it's a build up to the next season's like probably finale. I was pretty much just like what am I watching? Like, yeah, it's cool to see an image of someone standing with dragons behind them, but I want to see them dragons do something. I just don't want to see them stand there, giant CGI dragons.
Yeah, I definitely was not a huge fan of the season finale. It was not my favorite thing in the world. It felt like a trailer for season 3 is what it felt like. So, yeah.
Dude, I legit checked like online. I was like, did I miss something? Like, is this actually the finale? And I was like, oh, great. But hey, I didn't lose any sleep over it. Now, Dane, let me ask you, do you like protagonists or antagonists better in movies and TV shows?
It kind of depends on the movie that it's in. There's definitely some shows where I vibe with the antagonist more, but I think in general, I'd have to say I'm a protagonist guy. Just kind of mainstream, if you will.
Protagonist guy. But are you up to date with your antagonists?
I'd say so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you have some pen and paper ready, because we have a blind rank of some of the greatest antagonists of all time in movie and TV show history. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Absolutely. I just went through. I found a bunch of them. Bunch of them popular. I did want to ask you off the bat if you've seen No Country for Old Men.
Yes, sir, I have
seen that. All right, definitely. I am going to do something then. All right, then you might have a guess of who I might be adding, but that'll let you know.
Probably.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, bet. Let's start it off with the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin, Spider-Man's archenemy.
I mean, obviously in the Raimi stuff, he was great. I think he had, I can't even remember, wasn't very impactful. Obviously, he killed Gwen Stacy. Sorry, spoiler alert, but in the Andrew Garfield ones. But I definitely feel like when he came back into the new Marvel ones, he kind of was much more of a fiend than he kind of was with the Raimi ones. So I'm going to put him... at three. I think he pretty good.
No, not too bad. Yeah, William Dafoe just so amazing at playing him. Such an amazing actor. All right. Also up here, Sauron from game. What is it called? The Rings of Power. What's it? Help me. The Hobbit.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. I just looked at this too. Yeah, Sauron.
Solely because I'm just not a huge fan of it. I tried to watch The Hobbits and fell asleep. And if I fall asleep during a movie, it wasn't that great in my opinion. And so I'm going to put him at 10. Not a huge fan.
Ooh, bottom of the barrel for Sauron. Let's be real, it was just a giant eye. A giant eye. End of the day. All right. Here's a fun one. The Joker, played by so many greats.
So yes, not to get like nerdy, because I when it, especially when it comes to Batman, I tend to get a little nerdy. He's my guy, big Batman guy. And in well, we could just say I'm gonna throw him at one, and I will give my reasonings for it. Obviously, the Christian Bale movies and the Christopher Nolan, The Dark Knight, he is an absolute menace. Just, you know, doing it not for money, but just to watch the world burn. But then you see him in other forms of media, more specifically the, again, getting nerdy here, but the Injustice video games and cartoon that came out where he is basically caused Superman to go crazy and start killing everyone. So he has found ways, especially in other forms of media, to just become an absolute devious demon and not only go on from Batman, but everyone else. So strictly for that, I'm putting the Joker at number one.
It's actually kind of weird because I put him at one when I was thinking of antagonists, just like listing. So I don't know, just kind of weird. It was meant to be, it feels like. Well, I'll throw this man in here right now. You kind of already knew, but he's actually regarded as the closest, most accurate movie depiction of a psychopath. That is Anton Chigurh. C-H-I-G-U-R-H. He is legendary.
Yep. Anton Chigurh, terrifying human being, because there's really like no reason for what he's doing other than, you know, just to do it. And the fact the one scene with him in the gas station and how much have you ever lost in a coin flip, and that poor guy didn't do anything. He asked dude what time did they close, and he goes right now, and that's not a time. What time do you, just that whole tense conversation. I'm gonna put him at four. We're just gonna leave it at that. Absolute menace.
I absolutely love him. Like, I'm talking like someone's just killing to kill. Like, you're even just like watching it. Like, and what one thing I noticed about this movie, which I didn't even know going in, is that there's no soundtrack to add like this eeriness to it. Like, if you listen back, there's no sound. It makes it very good. It makes it more menacing. Speaking of menacing, this man is taking the world by storm. Some people might even think this guy's the hero. I kid you not. That's how crazy this character is over. Homelander from The Boys.
So I'm putting him at two just right off the rip. If we were talking like just straight, like if we're Christian Bale and Heath Ledger's Joker, as opposed to like all forms of media, Homelander would be one and Joker would be two. Homelander is such a absolute menace. And I hate to keep using that word, but it's the perfect word for some of these people. I mean, this last season, 3-2-4, He kind of just degraded more and more from those two seasons. And this season, he was just out of control. And, you know, every episode you were wondering who he was going to laser beam next. It was out of control.
And something crazy they've done is legit when he's on scene, he'll just randomly kill someone. And you're actually just like, damn, it's legit. And when you look at him, you don't see Anthony Starr, you see Homelander. Like, that's how big he's gotten. It's incredible. It's incredible. The facial expressions, the whole image. I don't blame you for putting him at 2. Alrighty, here we go. Michael Myers, horror icon, scary movie icon, Michael Myers.
I'll put him at, I'll throw him at 8. Sure, he's got some, like, quote-unquote invincibility and teleportation abilities, but in the grand scheme of things, he's just a guy with a knife. That's all he is. So,
run of the mill.
The OG, if you will.
OG, legendary, icon, but yeah, it's a good spot for him. Emperor Palpatine. Star Wars.
Menace. We'll throw him at 5. Again, a little biased with, you know, the Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars guy too. The fact that we actually were, as a house, we're watching the original trilogy about a month or so ago, and you kind of just go back and see how the story could have been so much different if, like, 3 or 4 choices were different, specifically by Anakin with Palpatine, and he's just able to twist just enough to get it to go to how obviously the entire movie went, and manipulating him. He's a something, all right.
Where'd you put him?
Oh, at number 5. Sorry.
Number 5. Love it. Let me hit you with a little Voldemort, Lord Voldemort of the Harry Potter universe. You know, he's one of the only villains where, hey, we don't even speak his name around here.
That is true. I'll put him at 7. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he's a guy that went to wizard school, didn't like the rules, so he kind of just started doing his own thing and, you know, killing the baby's good old Harry's parents was just kind of uncalled for. But, you know, he just likes to kill people. So. Yeah.
No, dude, that scene from the first movie when I was little, and it was like the guy took off his turban and Voldemort's face was on, like, the back of his head. Like, that scar, like, that freaked me out so hard. I was like, bro, what?
Yeah, that's not a fun scene as a child to watch. I can agree.
Alrighty, I believe we have 2 more. Am I correct?
I believe you are correct.
All right, let me hit you with this. Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
I'll put him at 6. Dude, definition, when we talk about the House of the Dragon and you're talking about people on screen, you're just wondering who he was going to kill next. He is the original who is he going to kill next guy, because it was every other scene he just got irritated about something, and the only guy that was willing to sass back to him was Tyrion, and that's why Tyrion's probably one of my favorite, probably my favorite character throughout the entire Game of Thrones, is he just, you know, do his own thing and was coddled by mommy and did whatever he want.
Yeah, and the actor who played him, like, his role was so good when the show was, because I didn't watch it when it was actually on HBO, I watched it in, like, 2018 before season 8 came out. Like, when season 1, 2, and 3, like, he was getting actual hate messages sent to him from fans. Like,
oh, I believe it.
Your role as a character is so good. People are saying you hate mail. Like, kill yourself. Like what?
Yeah.
All righty, your final man, your final spot, Thanos.
Well, I guess he's got to go at 9. Probably would have changed a few. I probably
good one.
You did. I probably would have moved in the grand Thanos up to like 6, and then everyone else down a tier.
Okay.
He is the big. I mean, he's probably one of the first times. Received a phone call there. Was one of the first times we saw a villain win in a movie, and everyone I specifically remember it was 2019, I think, is when that came out, and it was senior year of, is it 18? Yeah, so either way, around junior or senior year of high school, just going to school, and everyone was talking about it. I was like, I can't believe what I just watched. They lost, and that was Marvel's like peak, where everyone was rooting for all the heroes. Everyone knew their names and who played them. And then they're just like, oh, half of them are dead. And they lost. It was such a cultural moment that, I mean, he brought it to life.
That's incredible. And I mean, the thing that just Josh Brolin and CGI can bring that character to life, like, the acting has come so far. It's incredible.
I agree.
We've gone through our list, but let me ask you this. You could probably go with the Joker as your number one guy, but do you have an ultimate antagonist? Like, who is the ultimate antagonist of all time?
That's tough. It is. And again, I'll just span into my nerdiness a little bit here. Mostly because in the kind of debauched Justice League movies that Zack Snyder was originally supposed to make, Darkseid, if those of you don't really know DC, he was a big Superman villain. But he was supposed to be the big bad, and it was kind of supposed to be a Thanos situation where he won, and then it was those flashback scenes that you see in the movie where it's the world is a desert and Superman is not a good guy and Batman's using guns and all that jazz that it kind of got ripped for. Was supposed to be that. So if I had to choose one, and if he was actually done, because he's never really done properly in a live action movie. He's done in cartoons. They've done him well, but he's never really been done well in live action. And I feel like the character like that, who, I mean, get into the comic lore, is probably stronger than Thanos, is basically a ruler of a planet, would be done much better than most of these other guys.
Yeah, that Justice League Snyder Cut film, that was absolutely crazy, having just showing his power in that film. So it's a good pick.
You wish it would have stayed that way, but what are you gonna do? That's how the cookie crumbles, I suppose.
How the studio does their business. So yeah, a lot of fun in the movie industry, TV show industry. I don't really know if there's anything coming out as of right now that I'm excited for. I don't know about you personally.
Not really. I've kind of been lacking in the movie department. Obviously, I went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine. Probably the biggest movie, obviously. Yeah, I know. We've kind of skipped over that.
Amazing.
It was great. But other than that, really not a whole lot that I'm looking forward to. I mean, the new Beetlejuice looks, I mean, the first one is an all-time classic. I just rewatched it like a week ago. So good. And usually when they bring movies back after 30, 40 years, aren't always the greatest thing. So we'll see it. We'll see how they do it. I'm willing to give it a chance, but other than that, most of the stuff I'm looking forward to is not till like 2025, 2026, kind of in that range. So,
yeah, honestly, they're announcing way too many things too early, like 2025, 2026. I get like you're building hype, but at the same time, people see that and you're like, oh, that's super awesome. I shouldn't get into that right now because I got to wait a full year.
Yep.
It's kind of how the Avatar movies were. Like that second one had so much hype. And then James Cameron, it takes 2 years for another one to come out.
Yeah, that's another franchise that I'm like anti. I'm not a huge Avatar guy. I think we've talked about that and probably one of the other ones where we ranked movies or something, but
I got sucked into the hype just because I like when a movie is being promoted so well, like I have to give it a shot. Like Dune Part Two, like I was like, I hated the first Dune. I'll never see Dune Part Two. I saw Dune Part Two. I was like, this is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. It was incredible. Oh, all righty. So, Dane, lifelong Vikings fan.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And we have a season coming up. Do we not?
That we do.
So, I have the season pulled up right now. And what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you win loss every single matchup for the season to see where the Vikings land. You
Let's
ready?
do it. I'm yeah.
All right. You know, if anyone's curious, like the almost awkwardness, just like the deaf toneness of it, is that the Vikings are in, you know, look at where we were 2 years ago and look at where we are today. We've declined, which is weird. Like, it's weird to see your franchise decline. But, you know, it's the NFL. They're all stars. They could all be good. So, kicking us off, all right, the Giants. We take on the New York Giants. At home, I believe. No? Or is it on the
Nope,
road?
we're in New York.
In New York. Okay, that's what I see now. So, are we kicking off a win against New York?
I do think that one is going to be a win. And when I preface this by saying these are going to be based on Sam Darnold just playing okay. If he's worse than what I'm expecting, wins could easily turn to losses. If he plays better, losses could easily turn into wins, which of course you can say that about anything, but going into the season, we were kind of building hype that JJ McCarthy may have been actually able to come into play, but unfortunately tears his meniscus on the first preseason game, and that internally kind of has killed what little hope I did have of us kind of changing what my predetermined outcome of like, oh, we're gonna go like 6-11 and it'll be fine, but I don't know. We'll see. So I think this is going to be a
Okay.
win week one.
And the Giants, like, they have no stars. Like, I hate to be mean to Daniel Jones, but he's probably their biggest star. It's crazy that team has no star power.
It's basically Malik Nabers is probably the biggest name right now, him and Daniel Jones, and it's ooh.
All right, then we have the craziest two-game home stretch to kick off a season that I think we could have been given. Coming at you, second week of September, I believe. Or maybe it's the third. I don't know how the months are working out. But week two, the 49ers at home. How's that game going to go?
I'm gonna put that one as an L. I mean, there's not even if Ayuk isn't playing, I think that we not having Kirk Cousins sling it like he did last year, which probably was if he were to continue playing, would have been like a cap on an MVP season because he played so well in that game. And granted, he had help from Jordan Addison with a couple of plays. I'm not gonna pretend like every throw was flawless, but he played so well, and regardless of what people say, our defense has gotten better. I think it's still going to be a loss to just second week of season, start 1-1.
They're just the 49ers are good, and I'm sure they want to get right back to the Super Bowl. They want to get right back there. So week number three, September 22nd. Now I see Houston Texans. Another interesting one. This whole team is interesting. What's
This
going on
is
there?
probably my hottest take, but I think the Houston Texans are going to take not a huge step down, but a step down from last year. I think CJ Stroud is definitely going to have that sophomore slump, and I'm sure we'll look back at this in 4 years or 4 months when they're like 11-1 and like running the AFC. But as of now, I think last year was like a huge flash in the pan. Kind of like the Bengals were the year they won the Super Bowl, where they were just dominating. But I think Diggs going there may not be as beneficial as I think it's going to be. Kind of going to a lead back with Nixon, that may help the running game a little more. Because Damian Pierce really struggled last year, and Devin Singletary was kind of a he had some flashy games, like you said earlier, but isn't that. So I think Mixon will help, but I think adding Diggs is going to have a backwards, as weird as it sounds, a backwards effect on their team where it almost hurts them because he's going to try and spread the ball around constantly, CJ is, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, that is pretty hard when you have Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs. You could probably all be wide receiver ones to CJ Stroud, but immediately out of those three, you have to put them into three, wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, and I'm sure none of those guys want to be that wide receiver three. So you're definitely going to have some egos clashing. But is that a loss then or a win?
I'm going to put it as a win. I think that's going to be like our quarter. Like every year we have one win where we should lose and one loss where we should win. And I think this is going to be our one win where we should have lost.
Like it. All right, week four, we are rounding out September with a little trip. I'm so thankful we're taking this trip now. I would much rather take it early in the season to Green Bay. What's going on in that first game with Green Bay?
I think we win that. So actually going through the schedule, we're starting off 3-1. I think we do win. Green Bay is another one of those teams I see falling, taking a huge step back. I think the Jordan Love contract was weight, and I get it. That's the price of a quarterback now. That's the market. But I think that was way too preemptive. He had 8 good games last year. The last 8 games, he was probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But the first 9, he had like 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns to 11 picks. It was not a good – he was not a good quarterback. And everyone was talking like, oh, are they going to move on? Are they going to cut him? Are they going to find someone else? So we will see. I think their lack of – a number one wide receiver is going to hurt them. They can keep saying this cute, we like having all of these wide receivers on our team, that we have many wide receiver ones. You really don't. You don't even have a wide receiver one. Christian Watson, who is supposed to be a wide receiver one, can't stay on the field. Jalen Green's kind of a gimmick guy. And then you've got Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks that are probably wide receiver threes on any given team. Maybe Doubs is a two. Doubs is okay, but it's, I don't know.
It's crowded, not even, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and then I'm not a huge Josh Jacobs guy. I don't think he's, I think he had one really good season where he led the league, like, in rushing two, three years ago. But other than that, it's been less than, like, 1,200 yards every season, if that. He's not that great, and I think he got a little overhyped. And I don't think their defense is that good either, so we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And Packers are my least favorite team in the league. Now, it is tough with these NFC teams because I feel like every NFC team sees themselves as, we could honestly sweep everyone in the division. And more often than not, every single team in every division splits. So if we could take one out on the Packers, that could be the one year where maybe we go 2-0 over them. Man, you know, this could be our year, a year where people don't expect that much. And plus, we got Aaron Jones. So,
that is true.
Job, maybe a little worried. A little worried there.
Maybe.
All righty. And kicking off October, we're not just on the road, we're on a different continent as we take on the New York Jets in London. How's that game going to go, Dane?
I think that is a loss. Usually we actually play pretty decent overseas. I don't know if we've, I think we're like 3-1. I think we've only lost to the Steelers. Maybe, but I think we've lost to this. I think we played the Steelers our first year over there, and I think we lost, but I think we've won almost every one since then. Granted, there've been some weird games, but we've played well. I think Rodgers is going to come out. I think this year is going to be like a revenge tour, and he like dominates. So I think that Jets offense is going to be too much. And the Jets defense is always decent. I think they've, I don't know if they've lost a couple pieces, but I still think they're going to be pretty good. So I'm going to chalk that one down to a loss.
Okay. I kind of agree with you going into the bye. We're going to be 3-2. I really like that. But I don't know. It's just like all these games we have, I could see. I really feel if we lose to the Giants, that is just, that might just be like, okay, I'm not watching another Vikings game. But, you know, if we can beat them, the confidence may be high. Because then, you know, you got 49ers, Texans, Packers, Jets, all teams that have hype behind them. So, yeah, 3-2. Going into the bye, we then come off the bye and we host the Detroit Lions. What goes down in that game?
I think this will be the one Detroit game where we win. This is just because I like to say it, but I think Detroit is not going to win 13 games like they did last year. I know people are saying that they're going to their favorite for the Super Bowl. Shut up. It's Detroit. I don't care what you say about this same old Detroit team. This team isn't anything without their OC, which I think Ben Johnson is still there. But it's not Dan Campbell's team. Dan Campbell, if anything, has made them lose more games than he's helped them win. Ben Johnson is that team. He's running that offense efficiently, but their defense is still not good. They haven't done anything to like, oh, cool, look at these defensive pieces. What, you've drafted like a rookie corner? Yeah, you did that with what's his face? The Ohio State guy like 3-4 years ago. He's now out of the league. So they're going to be fine. They'll probably win the division because this division is not very strong. Although people are saying the opposite, that it may have three teams in the playoffs. I think this will be our one win against Detroit and when we go there, because we never play good at Soldier Field or Detroit. Detroit Field? Or Ford Field. We never play well at either of those stadiums, even if we are supposed to be the better team. So I think we'll win both of those games at home against the Bears and the Lions, and then we'll lose both of the away ones.
Now, while we have the Lions on mine, I wanted to revisit, what is your main issue with Amon-Ra St. Brown? I'm very curious.
So my biggest thing, and it's kind of like corny, and I get it, but it's every single time he gets brought in for some like interview or they do a piece on him for the pregame show, it's, oh, my dad was Mr. Universe, so we worked out when we were younger. Okay, cool. I have a brother who's also in the NFL. Your brother sucks. And then it's the I can name every wide receiver taken ahead of me in the – who do you think you are? You were like wide receiver 3 at USC. I don't know what you were expecting to be a top 5 pick. You had – I'm pretty sure that was the same draft class as Justin Jefferson, was it not? Or was that not the same draft class?
That would be awesome if it was.
It was the same draft class. It's like, okay, you think you're being drafted over CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. Sure, maybe Jalen Reagor you probably deserve to be. But at the time, he was supposed to be this like Percy Harvin-esque guy who was super explosive. I think Michael Pittman or something was in there. There's like a bunch of receivers that, sure, maybe there's like 3 or 4 of them now you deserve to be drafted over. But what do you think you're doing? You're not some like highly scouted player coming out of college. So let's pump the brakes realize, hey, I've made something out of myself as a slot receiver in the NFL. You're not lining up wide. You're running skinny posts across the middle of the field, catching them and getting your – whatever, 115 yards a game. So zip it and simmer down.
So you think it's the corniness that's what kind of annoys you?
Oh, it's the corniness and the him thinking that he's God's gift to this green earth. And like I said, I only watched 4 episodes. Maybe in the last 4 episodes he doesn't speak with that, but in the first 2, he I'm so tough, I tore my oblique and I'm still gonna play. I only take painkillers when it's the Packers. Okay, dude. Just be normal and, like, be hurt.
That's pretty funny. Well, we're leaving Minnesota. We're heading west. We're going to California. We take on the Rams October 24th on Thursday Night Football. How's that game going?
I think this is going to be one of the first ones where we get smoked. I'm pretty high on the Rams this year. I think Cooper's coming back to his, I don't want to say like triple crown form, but probably a 1,300 receiving yard plus season. Now adding Puka Nacua to that, who granted is going to start off the year a little hurt, but will only get healthier. Adding Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, who obviously was a stud at Michigan last year. I think that team is going to be a lot better than a lot of people expect them to be this year.
Okay. You know what? I kind of like that take. They got a lot of weapons, and you know, they got veteran and Matthew Stafford leading the helm. Made it to the playoffs last year. Yeah. Plus, it's on the road. You know, it's a toughie for us. All right. After that, we're back home, kicking off November. The Colts. Got the Colts at home.
I think that'll be a win. Like I said before, not a huge Anthony Richardson if he's even healthy enough to play at this point in the season, because Lord knows we're actually 8 games in and he may or may not be able to walk or throw. So I don't know. I like Jonathan Taylor a lot. I think he's really good. I like Pittman. I think he's a kind of underrated receiver that a lot of people don't talk about, but is actually really good. And I think their defense is pretty decent, but as most teams, if they've got a not great quarterback, kind of will hurt them regardless of how good your team is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like that. It's a great take. And, you know, like I said, it's tough when you're in your rookie year and you get hurt. And that's hard to kind of follow up all that energy. Well, following that home game, we're actually on the road the entire rest of the month of November. Pretty crazy. 3 straight road games. We kick it off down in Florida, Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think this is that win that's supposed to be a loss. So I think we'll lose that game. I feel like it's going to be one of those games where the opposing quarterback has their legacy game and they put up like 5 touchdowns against us. I think this will be that scheduled win that's going to be a loss.
Wait, so this is a loss or a win for the
Vikings? We're going to lose. We are going to lose in Jacksonville.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry if I misconstrued that. You. Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to go ballistic. That's more or less. Not that he's going to do great this season, but there's always one game where it was Josh Allen's rookie year. It was Dak Prescott when we played them, whatever that was, 2 years ago after the Buffalo game. We always have one game where the opposing quarterback looks like prime Tom Brady and absolutely shreds us.
Bro, that was crazy. We have that game of the century against the Bills that we go and play Dallas and it just get obliterated.
Real fun. Real great.
Alrighty, we leave Jacksonville. We don't go too far. We go to Tennessee, visit the Titans. Will Levis.
I think that one could be a win solely because they just don't have enough star. They're still building that team. I think DeAndre Hopkins may be back at that point because I think he's going to start the season off hurt. But still, I think we will win solely because they don't have just nearly enough star power on that team to compete.
No, not at all. So we got 10 games in, I believe, if I'm doing my math correctly, 6-4.
Sounds about right. I think right now would be the Vegas over under is 6.5. So right now we'd be just one win short of that Vegas over under. So maybe preemptive on a couple wins there, according to Vegas, maybe we lose 3 out of the 6 or 2 out of the 6, but, I think 6-4 is a solid spot. I'm not too crazy about it.
All right. Well, we round out our little road trip with our first game with the Chicago Bears, a Bears team where who knows where they'll be at by the time we play. This will be week 12, and this Bears team, it's all how good Caleb Williams does.
That's what yeah, and like I said, we never play good at Soldier Field, and we never play good at Ford Field, so I think this is going to be a loss. Regardless of how good Caleb Williams is, we lost to Justin Fields last year and he won 2 games for that team last year. So
bad.
Isn't this one a Monday night game too? Or is that when they come here?
Oh, that's when we got the Monday night.
Okay. Because for some reason, we always play the Bears on Monday night. That's just always seems – I don't think we played – it's them or the Seahawks, and I think it's been that for the last, like, decade. So do with that as you will. But, yeah, so I think that's going to be a loss, bringing us to 6-5.
Then we're home almost all the way up until Christmas before we are actually on the road again. But we kick off December 1st, Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Marvin Harrison, if you want to go to the stadium, you can see Marvin Harrison Jr. in person.
Another team that I think is going to be a lot better than people expect. I think this is going to be a loss for us. I think Kyler Murray is going to have kind of a redemption year where he's kind of proved that he was a number one pick for a reason. He bounced back off of his injury last year and played really well with really not a lot of weapons at the end of last season. Now he's adding Marvin Harrison. Trey McBride's coming off a really good season as tight end and is allowed to be taken as a lot of fantasy tight end ones. I think their defense has gotten a little better. So I'm standing on the fact that I think Arizona's going to be a lot better than people expect them to be.
And I completely agree with that. I know I'm sleeping on Arizona. And I think about that one year at the Bucs, like Baker Mayfield's first year at the Bucs, where everyone was kind of just like, oh, Tom Brady left, they're going to suck. And they were actually pretty decent. So kind of can get behind that. So 6-6, and we then have the Atlanta Falcons at home for just Kirk Cousins' return game. I don't know if he's going to get cheered. I don't know if he's going to get booed. That should be a great game.
Yeah, he's going to wipe the floor with us. I think this Atlanta Falcon team is one of my favorites in the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl. I am really high on Atlanta this year. I think they've only improved their defense through free agency. And if only they would have added another wide receiver in the draft instead of drafting Michael Penix, this team would be a lot more hyped than it is. And I like their philosophy is like, oh, we're never going to be low enough to draft a franchise quarterback again. Okay, whatever. But
everyone gets low.
Yeah, but point B, I think Atlanta is going to be really good this year, and I think this is Kirk is going to put up 4 touchdowns on us and show, hey, this is what happens when you put an offensive line around me and let me cook.
Okay, well, from 6-4 to 6-7, let's see if you're changing our odds around as we host the Chicago Bears Monday night, December 16th.
I think that will be a win. Like I said, we split 9 times out of 10 with Chicago, Green Bay, and the Lions. We almost always split, regardless of how good or bad the teams are. So I think we will beat them there. We'll learn what Caleb Williams, the phenomena, is, and take that one on Monday night.
Absolutely. I love to hear that. I love to hear wins. Well, after being in sweet Minnesota for just about all the whole month, we actually go to Seattle on December 22nd. We're going to win in Seattle. Oh, my gosh, completely have forgotten about Seattle. Nothing's really going on up there.
No, because we never play good in Seattle. There's all these places we never play good in, but Seattle is literally a place we used to get them. I think the last 2 years have been kind of a little break. But we always used to get them in primetime games. It was either a Monday night or a Sunday night game, and it would always be like a Russell Wilson clinic. And as for a guy that hated him, it was not fun to watch. So I think this will be a loss for us, whether it's Geno Smith or Sam Howell at that point. I don't know. I think Geno is still technically the starter, but they got Sam there to kind of back him up or maybe move on after this year, depending on when his contract's up. But the trio of Lockett, Metcalf, and Njigba are pretty good. And Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet out of the backfield are two damn good running backs. So I think that's going to be a loss for us.
Yeah, it's a tough stadium to play in. Tough stadium. They designed it so. And you're probably right, unfortunately. I hate to admit it. Alrighty, Sunday, December 29th. We're coming off that high of Christmas. And we host the Packers. What's going on there?
I got to fit I think we lose to Green Bay, kind of like we did last year. Come home, we'll split with them too. So not much you can say. They beat us when we are good, and we beat them when they're good and we suck. So it happens all the time.
That's fascinating. Alrighty. Final game of the season, not yet decided, because I'm sure they're going to see if we're in a wild card or if the Lions are playing to win the division. Detroit in Ford Field.
That is also going to be a loss. They're probably going to be playing for the division. It's not going to be great. I'm sure it'll look like a fine game, but it'll probably be something similar to last year where it's like a shootout that a light interception seals it. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, Dane, according to your philosophy, Vikings are going to finish 7-10, presumably missing the wild card by a game or two, and going from 6-4 to 7-10. So rounding off the year just horribly. Why do you think we're going to start off kind of hot, just mediocre, and then just finish just not good at all?
I think a lot of it comes down to who we've got playing quarterback. And again, if Sam Darnold, something clicks and he's like, hey, this is why I was the number three pick, and starts slinging it where he's throwing 2-3 touchdowns a game to 1 or 0 interceptions, a lot of those losses could become wins. But I just feel like with who we have at the helm, especially when we get later in the season, and we don't know when Addison is going to get suspended, if that's going to be next year or late this year. I guess we do get Hockenson back probably around week, probably after the bye. So I'd say week 7, we're probably going to get him back after the Jets trip to London. But it's really, I don't think our defense has improved all that much. I think corner is still a super weak position for us. I think our front 7 is going to be fine. Our D-line and our linebackers, I think, are good. Harry's a little old, and Bynum, I'm still kind of mediocre on. Yeah. He's played really well last year, but still not super, super high on him. And our corner position is just kind of scary. Mekhi Blackmon, I was really looking forward to him to step up, and unfortunately, Kyrie Jackson. Looking forward to both of those two to probably be our corners 2 and 3 coming into the season. Yeah. And now we're down to Stephon Gilmore, who is probably going to sit in zone because brother can't keep up on a 40-yard dash with most wide receivers anymore. Byron Murphy, who's fine. He was brought here to be a corner 1 and was okay last year. And then, like, the cliff drops off. Shaq Griffin, who hopefully is healthy by then. Caleb Evans, McGlovern, who's an undrafted free agent we had. The whole floor just kind of drops out beneath us. So I think that's going to play a huge part in us failing, which is kind of like the last couple of years where teams can just dice us across the middle or on in the air, and it's not going to be great for us.
Yeah, it is just... But there's just so much unpredictability. I don't know what to expect from this team. I've worried we become a Raiders team where we have a star wide receiver. That's it. You know, I don't think we're as drastic as that. But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of prefaced this at the beginning. If JJ were playing and playing at a coming back, wasn't hurt, McCarthy and, playing in some of these games, I do think some of these losses will become wins. And coming in the next couple of years, I think we did get our guy. I think JJ McCarthy is going to be a good quarterback. Whether he's going to be a Mahomes, Burrow, Brady, like, no one can speak about that until five, six years down in their career. But from what, and again, it's preseason, so do with that as you will. But when you're playing against 2s or 3s, you should be the best player on the field if you're going to start. And in that game, he was the best player on the field. After that first interception where it wasn't a great throw, he underthrew it a little bit. It was on the run, kind of a off-tempo play. But after that, yeah. It was, I think he threw like 2 incompletions after that. He was absolutely lights out. Getting his, he threw and standing in there making throws. The touchdowns were great. He looked really good to the point where people were talking about may has a shot to start week 1. I was definitely one of those people that thought he had a chance to start week 1. If not that, then after the bye week, where we get back from London. Unfortunately, the meniscus had other issues, and as Twitter would like to remind me, it's our yearly reminder that the gods just don't like the Vikings all that much. So it's, what are you going to do? That's just the way it goes sometimes. And
well, Dane, we've gone through so many of the teams today. I kind of wanted to get your opinion on some of the other teams we haven't talked about. And then I want you to make your official Super Bowl prediction to end out this episode. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds amazing. So one team that is certainly, I feel like they always have expectations to do good, but their QB is not playoff ready. The Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, bringing in Derrick Henry. What do you think? How do you think they're going to perform this year?
I think I notoriously bashed them last year, and they proceeded to be like one of the top teams in the AFC. So I think they'll probably perform at a high level like they did last year, but I am a very big, to say it lightly, anti Lamar Jackson. I think he had an incredible, his MVP season, what, 4 or 5 years ago, was one of the best quarterback seasons we've ever seen. He was incredible. Last year was probably one of the most fraudulent MVPs I've ever seen in my life. I think we, again, talked about it last time, so I don't need to be a broken record, but we got to differentiate from MVP being the best player, not the quarterback on the team with the best record. Those have to be two different things, because that's all Lamar was. He wasn't top 10 in almost any stat that ever, like, it was dumb. Whatever. Point being, they'll perform well. I think they'll be one of the top seeds in the AFC, but I don't, like you kind of said, Lamar really has never performed in the playoffs. It seems to elevate, and he doesn't seem to elevate with it. So, great regular season team. Don't know how well they do in the postseason.
Oh, like that take. Another team, do they repeat the Kansas City Chiefs? Actually, don't say if they're going to repeat, but just how do you think they're going to perform this year compared to their last few seasons?
Last year, I did not think they would do good. I will preface that. One of my buddies, we used to have conversations kind of like this, and it was always the never bet against Mahomes. And I kind of disregarded that last year. And sure enough, they go back-to-back to repeat. I thought they didn't have the weapons that they had. He didn't need that. He needed Travis Kelce, and he needed some rookie named Rashee Rice. And they decided to go repeat and look damn good doing it. So I've learned to never bet against Mahomes. I know you said not to, but they are they're pretty damn good, and I think they've only gotten better adding Xavier Worthy and, when healthy, Hollywood Brown.
Alrighty. It's just they're the Golden State Warriors of the NFL currently, or when the Golden State Warriors had their little run. But yeah, they're good. We'll give them their acknowledgement. An interesting team right here, the Eagles, a team where I don't really care so much for the Eagles, but, you know, they have the tools now. They've brought in Saquon. Are they the top NFC team, though?
I don't think they're the top seed. I think they're going to be pretty similar to last year, where they're going to be really good in the regular season and then just kind of falter at the end. I don't really know what they've – I can't say I've kept up on Eagles' defensive addition, so I don't know what they've added on defensively, but sure, you can add Saquon, but when your quarterback can only score when he's tush pushed from the 1 yard line, I'm not super high on Jalen Hurts. His passing is real strong. He can't throw it that far. I'm not super high on them, so I'm thinking they're probably going to be another regular season good team, not do so great in the postseason.
Yeah, they certainly were doing so good, best team in the league last year, and then just completely fall apart, lose to the Buccaneers. But they're betting a lot on Saquon Barkley, so we'll see if that pays off. I don't know. Another top team, the Dolphins. How are the Dolphins going to do this year?
Again, I think the Dolphins are going to be pretty similar to last year. I think they're probably going to end up winning that division just because the The Bills lost so much talent in the receiving core where they really don't have anything. So I don't know how much of the load Josh can carry on his own. And then the Jets, I'm not so sure about them. So I think the Dolphins are going to take that division. I think they're probably going to be a 10, 11, possibly 12 win team. They've just got too explosive of an offense. Their defense, again, can't really say I've kept up too much on their defensive additions, but they weren't too bad last year. So I have a feeling the Dolphins are going to be one of those good teams, probably a 1-2-3 seed that's probably winning a wild card or a divisional round, probably a round for that AFC championship game, depending on where they play it, because cold weather games have not been too fond for them in the last couple of years.
No, but they're a fun team to watch. Good offense, good defense. Just comes down to the playoffs. It's a, but you know, the season, you can do good during the season. I mean, I think ESPN set their win total at 9.5. I think they can get easily over 9.5. Like, honestly, I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't know if you have. I'm sure not.
Not really, no.
No. All right. And you know what we'll do, I'll hit you with three more. All right. So the Cowboys. Cowboys had one of the biggest failures in the playoffs I've seen against the Packers. What are they going to do?
I think they're going to be the same mediocre Cowboys they've been for the last 15, 20 years. They always, what, do they make it to the playoffs and maybe win one or two games in the playoffs? They can't do anything. I don't think Dak is that good of a quarterback. CD is obviously a stud, but they've got two geezers in the backfield. As much as you love to say, yay, Dalvin Cook, former Viking, he done got much left in the tank. Zeke didn't show much in New England last year. And other than that, Gallup is gone. I don't even know who their wide receiver two is. I could be stupid, but I don't know. And who's their tight end is?
Oh, Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson. He's, fine. So we'll see. I think they'll probably be maybe a, 8-9, 9-8 kind of a team.
Something like that. Okay. I like it. Then, all right, I got two teams for you who are fairly irrelevant. I'm going to throw a fourth in there. All right, so we got the Raiders, the Saints, the Chargers and the Commanders, all teams on no one's radar. Do any of them make an impact, or do they just remain bottom of the barrel teams?
I actually think the Commanders are going to be not like good, but I think they're going to be decent. I think Jaden Daniels showed some flash. I think they Scary Terry is a hell of a receiver. I think the Eckler and Brian Robinson duo is going to be pretty decent. Eckler isn't what he once was, but he doesn't need to be if you've got Brian Robinson carrying the rock for most of the year, and then Eckler getting a couple third downs conversions through there. So I think they're going to be pretty well, and I think they added a couple wide receivers through free agency. And I think their defense is actually pretty decent. I know, again, not a player he once was, but Bobby Wagner's in that lineup now, and so I think they can be pretty good. Will they probably win the division? No, it's probably either going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys. It's probably who it's going to end up being. But I think the Commanders will definitely be a team that is somewhat decent. Raiders, not so much until they figure out their quarterback scenario. I like Minshew a lot more than what they got. Minshew's a dog, so we'll see how he can perform. But it, again, so many of these teams rely on their quarterback play. And luckily for the Chargers, another one of those teams we were talking about, Herbert's an absolute stud. Their only issue is who are they going to throw the ball to? Quentin Johnston hasn't looked to be a good receiver last year. Josh Palmer's okay. Palmer's a decent receiver, but he's like a wide receiver two, wide receiver three. He's not a wide receiver one. And then their rookie, Ladd McConkley. Or Conkey or Clonkey, whatever. He looked to be a stud through training camp. But again, training camp is training camp. So they have a bunch of running backs now. They basically took the entire Ravens backfield with Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. They're both over there now. So who knows? I think the Chargers could be decent as well.
Yeah, so much unpredictability. I'll say it once, I'll say it again. But a lot of opportunities for teams to break through. So you kind of hinted at, you kind of mentioned that the Chiefs was probably going to be your Super Bowl pick. Who will be facing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Because I'm so high on them, and they could completely just turn around and bite me in the ass in like 3-4 months. But I'm really high on the Falcons this year. I think the Falcons have all of the pieces. They were one quarterback away last year, which is how the Vikings were in their run, the Minneapolis Miracle year, and that's why we went out and got Kirk. I think they were one quarterback away. They've got a really good defense, and they've added with Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Kyle Pitts. Unfortunately, Rondell Moore blew out his knee, so that would have been another third wide receiver to that mix. I think they've got a pretty damn good team, and I think they will play probably most likely the Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year.
Love that pick. I love picks where it's kind of like, it's not the favorite from the past year. It's someone new. It's a team that has so many new guys, so many new opportunities. Hey, I can get behind that matchup. I like it. Well, absolutely.
Yeah, would have been nice to... Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, would have been nice to see Kirk playing the Super Bowl in purple, but, you know, go do it in red and black.
The money talks, man. The money talks. It truly does. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dan. We've been dealing with technical difficulties this whole episode, so I apologize for any of our listeners if that has sounded kind of odd, but I had to get you back on, Dan. You're my football expert, okay? You bring all my knowledge. Give me all my tips. So thank you.
And I'm happy to do it. Happy to do it.
Awesome. Well, leave us with something good. What's some advice Dan can give all the listeners that will help get them through life, through the rest of the year?
I don't know about for life, but all you high school kids out there, don't do drugs and go to college or a trade school right after you graduate, because the longer you wait, the less likely you are to actually go to school, because you realize how nice it is to be out of school. So think.
Great point. I absolutely love that point. I love that. That's a good way to end it. Thank you so much, Dane. Yeah, go to school. All right, don't just stay at home.
Go to school.
What should I do in my life? Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Dane will probably be back sooner before later, and I'll make sure to catch you all next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.